This episode of the WPR Politics Podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on November 8th at Gathering Place Brewing Company in Milwaukee. Hey, Sean. Hey, Laurel. How's it going?
Oh, hey, John. It's going okay.
A little worn out.
A little tired.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but you guys both look wrecked.
Aw, thanks, John.
So here's the thing.
No problem.
We've been doing stories about the election for months, and then on Tuesday, we were talking about the election until like 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then what happened Wednesday?
We talked some more about the election.
Yeah, that was pretty early, and then that, you know, all day. And then what was it this morning that you were talking about?
The election, yeah, this morning.
So basically what we're trying to tell you is that we're really tired of talking about the election.
Really tired of talking about it, yeah.
Well, I've got some bad news, and I've got some good news.
All right, what's the good news?
That's not how it works. You got to do the bad news first.
All right.
All right, what's the bad news?
The bad news is that we have to talk about what happened during the election on Tuesday.
Okay, what's the good news?
Well, the good news is that we get to do it during a live WPR Politics podcast recording in Milwaukee at Gathering Place Brewing Company in front of a live audience.
Okay, all right. That sounds all right. I think I can do that.
That's pretty good news.
Yeah.
We can do this.
I can handle that.
All right, well, this is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, let's talk about what happened on Tuesday. On a Tuesday, got your girl in the cut, she choose a club going up. On a Tuesday, got your girl in the cut, she choose a squad going up. And that was Tuesday by I Love Makinen, featuring friend of the podcast, Drake. From 2014, which is a pretty apt song to choose to talk about an election that happened on Tuesday. So you guys want to talk about what happened on Tuesday?
Yes, we do. You know, you sold us in the intro. We were a little bit down on it, but then we realized how excited we are to talk about it, actually. And really, to be real with you, we kind of like talking about this stuff. So what better place to do it?
We're nerds.
So what do you want to know, John?
Yeah.
All right, so we had some races. There was a race for governor. There was a race for U.S. Senate. There were races for the assembly. There was races for the attorney general. There were races for a bunch of other things, advisory, referenda.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start with governor?
Yeah, that seems like it.
For those of you who only get your news from the podcast, we'll give you a little update on what happened on Tuesday.
We know you've been saving yourselves for us.
Thanks for not reading
tonight.
The news
yeah.
at all. That's cool.
We've got some news for you.
All right. So Democrat Tony Evers defeated Scott Walker in the race for governor by 31,000 votes in a race where 2.6 million plus votes were cast.
Yeah, that is roughly 1.2% of the vote.
That is pretty close. And in the race for U.S. Senate, of course, Tammy Baldwin, the Democrat, defeated Republican Leah Vukmir by a wider margin, more of an 11% margin. In the race for Attorney General, Democrat Josh Call defeated Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel.
That one was like 1 point.
That was under 1%. So Democrats in those three big races, if you're looking at Congress and the legislature, not a lot of change there. I mean, the same party breakdown in the races for Congress that existed before this election still exists.
Mm-hmm.
In the legislature, Republicans picked up one seat in the Senate and lost one seat in the Assembly.
So I think they call that like a draw, right?
There's not a lot of change there. But I think all of those races, I don't know, they're all interesting to me.
Well, do you want to talk about them?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we were hyper-focused on the governor's race because it was so close going into Tuesday. I would say this was a win for political science, at least Marquette University, which had the race tied in their last poll, and it ended up being about tied. There was a point in the evening, Laurel, when you took a screenshot of, we were watching the election results like everybody else. We don't have any super secret numbers that are coming in. We had the same numbers.
We're refreshing the same pages that everybody else is refreshing.
And we're looking at this map of Wisconsin at Wisconsin Vote, and it keeps showing the percentage by which Tony Evers or Scott Walker was up at that moment in time. And there was one point where it was so close where it said Tony Evers is up by 0%.
Yeah. And it had to be close to midnight or maybe a little bit after midnight.
I think it was
midnight.
After, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit after midnight. And I was so tired because I'd shown up at like 6 p.m. or something to the Tony Evers watch party. So I took a screen grab of this, you know, Tony Evers is up by 0%, because I thought, like, when does this ever happen?
When am I going to get a chance like this ever again?
Right, exactly.
I took the same screenshot,
actually.
That's
the level of nerd
actually.
I am. Did
I'm
you
like,
take the
I'm
same
gonna
screenshot?
I'm going to be the only one who has this screenshot. Then Laurel's like, boom, on Twitter.
This is why we're a team,
it.
Sean.
Yep, that's right.
But so I took the screenshot, and I was like, I'm going to tweet this, because this is so great, and people are going to find it so funny. So I tweeted it, and I said, I wonder how they picked to put, like, Tony Evers is in the lead over Scott Walker when it's Tony Evers is leading by 0%. And so I was like, oh, yeah, maybe it was just alphabetical. Maybe they just, like, picked Evers.
That's how we pick governors in this state.
Right. I was like, well, you know, in statute, it says that if it's a tie, they go with the alphabet. So I tweeted, like, oh, it must have been alphabetical, not trying to be funny. Like, I really thought, like, oh, maybe that's how the algorithm does it. And then someone on Twitter, as people on Twitter do, tweeted back at me, and they were like, he's leading by like 200 votes, Laurel. They chose it based on the
numbers
of votes.
Yeah, it's mathematics.
It's like, I'm the state capitol reporter. So I tweeted a nice GIF and I moved on.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
So I guess before we move on to other races, I mean, I think one of the biggest things you alluded to a little bit was that how close this race was and how throughout the entire evening things kept sort of flipping back and forth, Walker leading, Evers leading. And what was the dynamic that pushed Evers over the top eventually? How you guys want to walk us through a little bit at election night with, I don't know, was it like 2 a.m. with the 47,000 absentee ballots and this whole thing, and then sort of like, yeah.
I would be interested to hear this from the perspective of Sean, because you were kind of in command central?
A studio.
Studio control, whatever.
Yeah, right. Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah. So when did you first hear about these 47,000-ish ballots from Milwaukee County that we became aware of pretty late in the night?
That's where we are right now.
Yeah, that's where we are. See how I did that?
I do not know. I mean, that was, it was a long night, so I'm not sure exactly when exactly we heard about it. Probably when everyone else did on
Twitter. It was on Twitter.
Twitter, mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, it was so close at that point in the race. And what you were seeing as the results were coming in was Evers had a lead, but all these counties around the state, these smaller counties, mm-hmm. were going to Walker. And so it looked like, hey, this is headed his direction. And mm-hmm. then we hear about these absentee votes that were not yet counted from Milwaukee, the city, where Tony Evers had very strong support. Democrats mm-hmm. always do. And you know, at that moment in time, that was what put him over the top, was those mm-hmm. 47,000 votes, which broke strongly to him.
We had gotten to the point in the night where it was going back and forth so much, and it was so close, 0%, 200 votes. And so we were really focused on the places that hadn't fully reported yet. So we were looking at, like, Green Bay. It was, like, the city of Green Bay. We were looking at
La Crosse
County.
Yeah. And
because
LaCrosse,
it was, I remember vividly La Crosse County being at 36.36% reporting for like ever.
It was
and I
a
was
long
just
time.
Like,
yeah.
Is this going to happen?
So that's a Democratic county, but mm-hmm. you had all these, you had little Republican counties here and there that had some votes.
And
too.
It was so close that you thought, okay, well, this is going to go for Evers most likely, but by how much? And so you're kind of watching that.
Those Milwaukee City votes that put him over the top that night. Now,
right.
The next day, you
this.
Wake up after like an hour of sleep and you realize...
Did you even get that much?
I maybe got an hour that night. And then you realize the next day that, okay, those were the ones we counted last, but let's take a look at where they all came in because everybody mm-hmm. voted from 7 till 8 that day where they cast their absentee ballots during the same period. Let's see where votes came in. And so then you start to see sort of big picture... Wow, Tony Evers did amazingly well. So did Tammy Baldwin even more so, mm-hmm. but in Dane and Milwaukee counties. Now, this is like when you first start learning about elections in Wisconsin, this is one of the first things that you have to learn. Like, okay, there are counties that go Democrat, Dane, Milwaukee, and then there's counties that go Republican, Waukesha, Washington, Ozaukee.
Wow.
You learn those things, right? And it feels like, it does feel like lazy analysis to sort of trot that out in an election. Like, well, see, Dane in Milwaukee went to Democrats. But I will say, I'm still struck by the margins in Dane in Milwaukee County for Tony Evers. Because in Milwaukee County, this is the margin. This is not how many votes Tony Evers had. But I believe the margin was 138,000 votes. He got 138,000 votes more than Scott Walker in Milwaukee County. In Dane County, there were fewer votes cast, but the margin was even larger. It was 150,000 votes for Tony Evers.
And it wasn't that for Mary Burke in 2014, wasn't it like closer to 100,000?
It was 100,000. He outpolled, his margin was 48,000 votes larger than Mary Burke's in 2014. If you go back to 2010, so we're looking at like how has Scott Walker won elections in Wisconsin? And you know, there's sort of a formula that has worked well for him. But if you compare this year to 2010, Tom Barrett got like an 81,000 vote margin in Dane County. So Evers nearly doubled the Dane County margin in this election. I would say Democrats were pretty motivated in this one. But also, Dane County as a force in state politics is growing. That's what struck me. And there's sort of a flip side of that too, you know?
Well, so I don't know if this is what you were alluding to, but so Evers turned out those Democratic counties with wider margins, but Walker did not turn out the WOW counties with the margins that he's gotten in the past. So he still won, but he didn't win by as big of a percentage as he had in the past. So it's sort of like their strongholds, Walker's strongholds didn't turn out as well for him as Evers did.
If you look at Walker over the years, 2010, 2012, 2014, he won Waukesha County in all those years by about 72, with about a 72% of the vote in that county. I mean, his pattern, his formula for success was remarkably consistent. 72% in all those years. This year it dropped to 66%. And his margin in Waukesha County dropped by about 20,000 votes. So, you know, the phrase I used to describe it, and it felt a little over the top, but I don't know. when he needed them the most, Waukesha County voters were not there for him.
I edited that story. Yeah. And
did you leave that in? Or
I did.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I figured,
you're all right.
Yeah, John will take that out if it's a little too early. But really, like, Walker had been warning all year to get the attention of his base. This is a blue wave. If you guys don't turn out and match the enthusiasm, I'm going to lose. And I think that's what happened.
Right. Well, I mean, when you lose by 30-some thousand votes, having that margin of 20,000 that you were talking about less than he had before, I mean, it definitely adds up. And he needed those big margins in those counties, even though, you know, he won consistently. If you look at a map of the state, he won a lot of Wisconsin geographically.
Won all over the place, yep.
But he really needed, because of the huge turnout in Dane and Milwaukee, he needed the big turnout in the WOW counties, too.
So to use my hostly prerogative here, we've been talking about the governor's race up until now.
It's so interesting.
And we can keep talking about the governor's race, but I want to also bring in the race for U.S. Senate, where Tammy Baldwin defeated State Senator Leah Vukmir, and sort of compare and contrast the two, because we've been talking on and on about how the governor's race was a very, very close race. The race for U.S. Senate, not a close race at all, like 11 points. And so I wonder, how do you reconcile the two of those things?
We run into elections like this all the time, where there are people who are willing to still support both parties in Wisconsin. There are Trump Obama voters. There are, you know, potentially Trump Obama Walker Doyle voters out there. I mean, there's especially in Southwest Wisconsin. Richland County has supported they've picked every winner going back to like 1980 or something. So you got, that county has voted for Tommy Thompson, Jim Doyle, Scott Walker, Tony Evers, Tammy Baldwin, Ron Johnson. I mean, there's a willingness.
That's a feature we need to do.
Yeah.
Talk to an elderly voter there and you've picked the winner every time.
Right. That person has personally picked every winner.
maybe they have some power we don't know about. Yeah. I don't know.
They're a witch.
Yeah. you would need like to do that so you could be like on local TV, so you could do soothsayer next to their name.
on the Chiron.
On the Chiron. On the graphic,
yes.
Right? No, I guess I bring that up to say that, you know, we're in Milwaukee here, where Milwaukee is going to vote for Democrats. We're based in Dane County. It's going to vote for Democrats. If we're out in the suburbs a little bit, they're going to vote for Republicans. But there are counties that will change their minds, and there are counties that will vote for a Democrat and a Republican in the same election. And Tammy Baldwin, an 11-point victory. We are so focused on the governor's race, and Governor Walker was an historic governor. So, I mean, I think rightfully so. When he loses, that's a big deal. But Tammy Baldwin just won a second six-year term to the United States Senate. So that is also a big deal that kind of got overshadowed. How did we learn about her news on election night? We're all geared up to talk about this stuff for hours on end. I think there were some TV networks that announced her victory before the polls had closed.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. There were at least a couple of them. We're sitting there in the newsroom scratching our heads like going, what the heck? It's like 7:57.
Just wait till 8 o'clock.
What is going on here?
We've waited so long for election night. Now you're just calling it off early.
It is about us, but it's also about people who might still be voting at, you know, 7:59.
I suppose it's about them too. Yes.
So that desire to be first seems to have gotten the best of whatever networks jumped in. I think it was one network that jumped in before 8 o'clock, but. Anyway, they were basing that decision off of exit polling, which showed a dramatic lead for Tammy Baldwin. Exit polling has a huge margin of error, but what they saw was what we ended up having, which was a lopsided victory for Tammy Baldwin.
And I think we'll hear a little bit more sort of commentary and hot takes on this race as we move forward. But I did hear from some Republican strategists today that they were kind of blaming the national headwinds on Republicans, against Republicans, on the margin for that race. In terms of comparing it to the governor's race and how close that was, they said, you know, kind of the pushback against the president or kind of like federal issues, polarization in federal politics, maybe was a little bit more detrimental to Leah Vukmir, the Republican candidate in the Senate race, than it was to Walker in the governor's race. Now, that's just one argument. That's one take. We might hear more. Obviously, we know about those cross-ticket voters.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I second guessing that that's what it's called? Cross ticket.
We're tired. We established this. That was not
we're exhausted.
That part of the shtick was real.
Our brains not work good right now, yeah. Laurel.
I think they choose it by alphabetizing it, don't they?
That's how you do it, yeah.
Cross ticket voting. That's what it's called.
Split.
Thank you.
There it is.
I knew it wasn't right. I knew.
This is the benefit
thank
of
you,
recording
thank you
in front of a live audience.
they can you pick know up that the in the back of your mind where you're just like, it's not right, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Split ticket.
You got it.
Like split.
Well, you didn't get it.
Like split.
The audience got
yes.
it, but we got
it's
it
like
now.
Like splitting rails.
All right. Speaking of rails and getting this back on them, before we wrap up this segment of the podcast, this episode, can I just pose to you guys, a lot of the prognosticating going up to this race was whether or not this was going to be a blue wave year. Was it a blue wave year?
Okay, to me, having covered wave elections before, when there's a wave election, there are people who lose who your jaw drops. Like, oh my gosh, like seriously, like in 2010, Russ Decker, the Senate Majority Leader, and Mike Sheridan, the Assembly Speaker, both lost. Marlon Schneider, who is the longest serving member of the State Assembly.
Snarlin' Marlin,
yeah, lost, you know? People lost that year that just totally shocked me. Mm-hmm. And
we really didn't have that, at least in the, well, you know, in the state house.
No, you didn't have it. So you didn't have it in Congress. You know, Glenn Grothman survived his race. There was no incumbent on the ballot in the first congressional district, but Brian Stile was definitely the Paul Ryan candidate, and Brian Stile won that race. So there are a couple schools of thought here. One, it was a good election for Democrats because look who's going to be governor, who's going to be attorney general, who's going to be U.S. senator. It was a good election for Democrats. But was it a wave? I don't know. You know, there's like 63 Republicans in the state assembly. We've gone from 18 to 19 Republicans in the state Senate. By that measure, no. So maybe why did that wave not transpire in the legislature? They did draw the maps, like Republicans drew those maps, and so they have some control over which voters are choosing the candidates there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need more time to analyze these results to give like a really good answer, but I think you have to look at that as a factor. It's like carried on for a decade now. You had basically a 50-50 election in Wisconsin, and it didn't affect the number of seats. Mm-hmm. Now, the counter-argument to that is, we talked about this at the beginning of the show, look at all the votes that came in two counties
right.
as part of a statewide election.
And that's not going to flip
and
a
And if
seat,
those aren't spread around to yeah. seats in smaller, in rural areas, then that obviously works against Democrats when it comes to picking up seats. Those are really the counter arguments in that ongoing lawsuit that we have in Wisconsin, which we will be talking about next year. But we need more data. Guys, we need to.
Sean
to
needs
make
more time with the spreadsheets.
More time, but I certainly don't discount the effect of the maps, and I don't think anybody does. That's significant.
And the maps are something that I think we'll be talking about with Governor Evers potentially, right?
Predicting the
foreshadowing.
Future.
Let's see. Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol bureau chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Unlike in our electoral system, you don't have to wait till a Tuesday to choose the WPR Politics podcast. You can go to iTunes any day of the week you want to subscribe for new episodes. You can also find the show on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics. Ain't got no mother time.